Greetings, nerds! It's Mike, host of Get the Word. Don't worry, I'm a nerd too. I mean it as a term of endearment. I've always been a nerd. I guess it was just my fate. Or was it my destiny? In this episode, we'll dive into both words to figure out the best word to use. In a recent session with a student of mine, I was asked the question, what is the difference between fate and destiny? I didn't have a good answer. I felt as dumb as a computer terminal with no independent processing capability. I felt as dumb as the contestants on the great trivia podcast Go Fact Yourself during their What's the Difference round. Big thanks to Helen Hong and Jake Heath Van Stratton over at Go Fact Yourself for plugging Get the Word in a recent episode. I paid them to, but either way, much appreciated. If I recall, with my student, I believe I tried to track down the etymological roots of both words to give me a clue. As I tend to point out in my classes, sometimes words that seem to have overlapping meaning in English come from two disparate origins and therefore entered English at different times, allowing room for both to exist in the language. However, fate and destiny have more overlap than I'm used to, and both emerged around the same time. With both fate and destiny, we have Latin roots, but they did veer a bit before entering the English lexicon. Let's get into it. According to one source, both fate and destiny popped up in the English language in the same century, the 14th century. Some evidence suggests that destiny appeared first in the middle of the century, so let's start there. Destiny is defined as the events that will necessarily happen to a particular person or thing in the future. A secondary definition from Oxford reads this way: the hidden power believed to control what will happen in the future, semicolon, fate. So without even looking at a thesaurus, one can define the word destiny with the word fate. Destiny appears to have come from Old French, and before that, from a Latin word that could be translated to make firm or establish. To make firm. To establish. So, is a person in control of their own destiny or not? Is your destiny already laid out for you by a force out of your control? Must you then reach your destiny through your own actions? The examples from Oxford may or may not provide any clarity. Quote, she was unable to control her own destiny, and he believes in destiny. Unquote. You have the choice to believe in destiny. Edom Online also gives fate as part of its definition of destiny, and also has this fantastically worded line, quote, the irresistible tendency of certain events to come about, semicolon, inexorable force that shapes and controls lives and events. That which is predetermined and sure to come true. That old French root translates to purpose and intent. Intent. The intent of whom? Can another human create one's destiny for another? Or must it be set in motion from up above? No, not Uncle Larry who lives in your attic. I'm talking about some sort of God, some sort of higher power. Intent, a very interesting word to see come up in my research. The mid-15th century has a sense given as follows, quote, what is to befall any person or thing in the future, unquote. Okay, so you can't change your destiny, right? It is what will happen in the future. Doesn't befall typically have a negative connotation attached to it, that something bad will happen to someone? We'll get more into that when we talk about the word fate. To help make a distinction between the two words, put simply, I just remember that destiny and destination have the same root. Your destiny comes to fruition fully once you reach your destination. There is a lot to be said about fate and destiny, a discussion dating as far back as any of us could possibly imagine, I'm sure. If you're looking for a philosophical discussion around fatalism and free will, the Stoics, determinism, the influential beliefs of Friedrich Nietzsche on the subject, then, well, you've come to the wrong podcast. I can't even grasp the difference between fate and destiny. I highly recommend the Making Sense podcast with Sam Harris. Truly thought-provoking discussions. After the break, we'll pick apart fate a bit more and open up the fact cabinet. You have the free will to switch podcasts now, but I hope you'll stick around. Okay, let's look at fate. In Islam, fate, or qadar, is the decree of God. There definitely is a kind of decision from the God's quality to fate. Fate. One's lot or destiny, or one's guiding spirit. Also from Latin for, quote, prophetic declaration of what must be, oracle, prediction, unquote. Although predict in modern English has a sense of estimation or guessing, the Latin root of predict is translated to something more like made known beforehand or declared. Often fate is in a bad sense in Latin. Bad luck, ill fortune, mishap, ruin, or a pest or plague. Fate comes from Latin, yes, but there is a deeper Proto-Indo-European root translating to speak, to tell, to say. In the 1580s, we have the same sense or meaning of one of the three goddesses, Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos, who determine the course of a human life. This comes from the ancient Greek mythology tale of the Moiri, often known in English as the Fates. In the tale, these three goddesses preside over the lives of humans and determine their destinies, in particular, the individual's allotment of misery and suffering. So, why 1580s as the emergence of this use of fate in the English language? This tale dates back to well before the 16th century. Well, several sources tell us that this tale of Greek mythology was not translated into English, or at the very least, not put into English print until the 1580s. Engram, which tracks the use of words in print dating all the way back to the year 1500, confirms this information, 1587 to be exact. However, I did find mention of Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos in a scanned copy of a book entitled The Golden Book of the Leaden Goddess, wherein is described the vain imaginations of heathen pagans and counterfeit Christians, which has a print date of 1577. So if I had to make an effort to differentiate the two terms, I would say that fate can be about the present, whereas destiny is more about the future. You have to reach your destiny, but when something happens, often when something goes wrong, you can blame it on the hands of fate. What are your thoughts? Write into the podcast, getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. Help me out here. Let's open up the fact cabinet. Here's a sack of fairy dust I picked up at a Ren fair some years back. Maybe if I try to sprinkle some on my bust of King Louis XIV, it'll make the bust come to life or something. I'd love to gab with Louis about what it was like to reign over an entire country at the age of four. You know, I have heard, though, that only a real fairy has the power to use this dust. Oh well, let's give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen? Wow. Oh. A fairy the size of Tinkerbell just beat me up and stole my fairy dust. Oh well, I shouldn't have been hoarding precious fairy dust to begin with. Did you know that the word fairy and fate are related words? That's right. It traces all the way back to that same Proto-Indo-European root, meaning speak, tell, say, and the Latin fata, or the fates, plural form of fatum, that which is ordained. One theory for the connection posits that in Roman mythology, beautiful women possessing supernatural powers, who may or may not have been the size of Tinkerbell, I couldn't find that information, appeared in the homes of newborn babies. These magic women would then decide on the fate of said newborn and then fly away. The idea of birth fairies can be found in many different myths and different folklore throughout Europe. We seem to have this trend throughout cultures, this desire to believe that our lives are predetermined. And, well, the physical manifestation of such a fate-determining being present at the birth of a newborn seems to have satiated the desire to figure out how this predetermination comes to be. Here's another item, although I don't know how it got in my fact cabinet. It's one of my receipts! A receipt from when I hired a moirologist for my pet parakeet's funeral. You see, a moirologist is a professional mourner, someone hired to mourn at a funeral. And no, I'm not just bragging. There's a reason why I mention it. Perhaps you recognize that first syllable that I seem to have trouble with. The word Moira is related to the Greek mythology tale I mentioned earlier. And the three fates, the three goddesses of fate. The term Moira became a word associated with fate and destiny. The choirs of ancient Greek tragedies were practicing moirology when the principal singer would begin mourning and then the chorus would join in. Singing is often associated with moirology to this day. Moirology. Why is moirology? There we go. One of these goddesses of fate, Atropos, chose the manner of each person's death. When the mortal's time was up on Earth, she would cut the person's life thread with a pair of shears. Guess who the Roman equivalent to Atropos was in ancient Roman mythology? Morta, or in other words, the dead one. We still see this Latin root in many words in English. Related to death, mortality, mortal, meaning you will die, right? Mortgage, which translates to literally a dead pledge. Mortician, etc., etc. This term, moirology, seems to have been coined in 1868 in order to put an English word to a profession that existed far before the 19th century. I already mentioned the Greeks, and evidence suggests that professional funeral singers were found in ancient Egypt as well. There seems to be clear evidence of this based on certain hieroglyphics and accompanying images that were left behind. Professional mourners can be found all over the planet. In recent years, a talented photographer named Miana Skelaraki traveled to the Mani Peninsula of southern Greece to document the petering population of female professional mourners there who are keeping alive a long-held tradition helping families grieve. They also see their work as helping to accompany the dead on their journey to the afterlife. The songs they sing, or laments, are referred to as fate songs. The moirology tradition on the Mani Peninsula will soon need its own fate song, however, as the women keeping this tradition alive are fast approaching their own mortality, with no one from younger generations to take their place. Many of the women Skelaraki photographed are approaching 100 years old. Go to the website www.englishsessionswithmike.com to witness stunningly beautiful footage of one of these traditional Mani Peninsula mourning laments being performed. It's haunting. While the tradition may be slowly disappearing in Mani, similar traditions can certainly be found in many other parts of the world. Perhaps professional mourners are part of your culture. Write into the podcast and tell us all about it. Get the word podcast at gmail.com. A link to Skelaraki's beautiful photographs, the project entitled The Truth is in the Soil, can be found in the show notes as well. That's all for today's episode. Make sure to follow us on social media. We have a link tree to make it easy to find all our material. linktree.com/get the word. There you can find links to the English Sessions website, to Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You can find a way to support Get the Word and the English Sessions. Make sure to find our anchor page, anchor.fm/get-the-word. where you can subscribe to bonus content from Get the Word for only 99 cents. That's less than $1 per month. Doing so will get you ad-free episodes of Get the Word, as well as occasional bonus content. It's also a way to support content creators directly, which helps us to break away from the soul-sucking advertising-based model. Save me from selling my soul, people. If you're a Spotify user, make sure to head on over to the Spotify Get the Word page, where you will find access to an episode I released recently that is specifically for Spotify, a re-release of the episode on ska, in which you can hear all the songs that I mentioned throughout the episode, embedded within the episode. It turned out great and really takes you down a journey of music history. Give it a listen. Podcast artwork by Bruno Sanchez. You can find a link to his work in the show notes. Music performed by the Monroeville Music Center. Production, editing, and research performed by me, Mike Butler. Write into the podcast and give us your comment. That email again is getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Mike signing off. Welcome to the English Sessions. I am your host and English teacher, Mike Butler. This podcast is for English learners who want to learn English from an experienced educator. I share my passion about language and many awesome topics throughout this podcast. We focus on grammar, pronunciation, structure, and try to have some fun too. There is something for everyone on the English Sessions podcast. Are you a more advanced English learner or a native English speaker? Then you'll enjoy our series called Get the Word. This series is about etymology, the history and origin of words in English. For example, did you know that the word zombie was originally the name of a West African snake god? Join us if you want to improve your English skills. Join us if you are a grammar and etymology nerd like myself. For an archive of resources and much more, go to EnglishSessionsWithMike.com. The English Sessions with Mike Butler, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.